Jackson, W266DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. For the first time, a sitting Democratic senator, Vermont's Peter Welch, is publicly calling for President Biden to drop his reelection bid. His announcement came on the heels of remarks by the former House Speaker, CBS's Ed O'Keefe.
Nancy Pelosi's strong suggestion that Biden rethink his future signals she's hearing real concern from fellow congressional Democrats, big party donors, and other party leaders, and it gives others an opening to speak up.
Remnants of Hurricane Beryl have triggered catastrophic flooding in New England as more than a million Texans struggle without power in blistering heat. For day number four, Houston Mayor John Whitmire.
We need generators so we can have cooling centers. We need ice, food. We need boots on the ground.
We'll get a fresh read on inflation when the government releases its CPI report later this morning. Business analyst Jill Schlesinger.
People really are unhappy that prices overall are still quite high.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Protesters are out with their plans for a parade near the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee. Here's Stuart J. Waddles.
The Coalition to March on the RNC 2024 will begin their demonstration at Red Arrow Park, crossing the Milwaukee River four times and then entering the soft security zone. Organizers say the march, scheduled for noon on Monday, aims to bring protesters as close as legally possible to the convention while respecting court-ordered boundaries. I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
Expanded Amtrak service in Wisconsin is a hit with passengers. More than 18,500 people rode the Borealis trains between St. Paul and Chicago during its first month. That's about 300 passengers on each trip. Wisconsin's transportation secretary calls the data promising. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
A nice win for Toby Myers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Brewers with a 9-0 shutout over the Pittsburgh Pirates and perhaps the best performance yet of rookie pitcher Tobias Myers. He didn't allow a hit until the fourth. All in all, he gave up just four hits, struck out six, walked one, while throwing 103 pitches in his 13th start. Pat Murphy also gave credit to catcher William Contreras.
Yeah, I mean, Tobias was attacking, which he's been most times, but he was attacking. You got to put Contreras in the conversation because Contreras really did guide him through. He understood what Tobias was good at. That slider's become a real pitch now, and he threw some cutters, but Contreras from the first inning kept adjusting with him, and then he found his stuff again. Third or fourth inning, he found his stuff, and we played great defense behind him. We hit in the clutch. We scored a ton of runs with two outs. That was the name of the game, and we stayed with it for nine innings.
Home runs from Reese Hoskins, Willie Adames. So the Brewers even the series up now, one game apiece. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinee on Air with Jane Matinee. Weekdays 10 till noon on The Shaw. 101.1 FM and 540 AM WAUK. And on the Civic Media app.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
When President Biden wanted to set the record straight, he called Civic Media Network's Earl Ingram Show.
I screwed up. I made a mistake. That's 90 minutes on stage. Look at what I've done in 3.5 years.
Hear the complete conversation now at civicmedia.us. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Partly cloudy today. We'll get to 76 for a high this afternoon with wind out of the northeast at 5 to 10. Tonight, partly cloudy, 64. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, a little warmer with a high of 80 into the weekend. A few isolated thunderstorms, warmer, a lot more humid with mid-80s Saturday, low 90s by Sunday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp, 62.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Again, we're talking about Julian Assange, villain or hero. Karen from Madison, you're on the air. What do you think?
I studied that Edward Snowden. You know, maybe I don't know as much about Julian, but I'm trying to learn more. And I just want to thank everybody for helping me learn.
Thank you for being open to learning more about issues and delving into them here on the Civic Media Radio Network. That is what it's all about.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Crude and Dom.
Tune in to the next edition of the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. We build up to the RNC MKE 2024, and we bring you the latest Trump outrage, Devils.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6.
Well, not a bad way to start off a Thursday morning. In fact, for the next 48 hours, Wisconsin looks pretty doggone good weather-wise. Welcome in, everybody. It's the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke here on the Midwest Farm Report. Yeah, I'm really excited to see this weather forecast. The rain chances are pretty thin for both La Crosse, Madison, Milwaukee. Daytime highs today are going to be in the low 80s, so pretty manageable. Now, I grant you the humidity is going to continue to climb. The bugs are still going to be out there. But overall, the weather looks like it's going to be great for outdoor activities, whether that's out in a farm field, your garden, or maybe attending our county fairs. Stu Mucker, ag meteorologist, will be along with us in just a little bit. Weather details on the way. Today's daytime highs, again, look like they're going to be in maybe the low 80s, mid-80s for some. Tonight, down to about 63. Tomorrow's sunshine and in the upper 80s. Saturday also looks mighty sticky, probably into the 90s by the weekend. But I'll let Stu tell us more about that. Don't forget, Matt Tranel with EverAg is along with us. And we're also talking about your passport. I'm not worried about you going outside of the state. I'm not worried about you going outside of the country. I'm talking about your cheese passport. Yeah, that's right. Greene County is getting ready to host Cheese Days, and it is an international event. We've got Aubrey Schlimgen on the task. She brings us your passport update on the way. On a Thursday morning, I want to start off focusing in on a really challenging topic for a lot of Wisconsin agriculture. Our labor situation. Many farms turn to immigrant labor to try to make sure they're getting the job done. They trust those folks to take care of the day-to-day operations on the farm, but they may not have clear lines of communication with those employees, depending on what part of the world they've come from and what their cultural background is. Plus, let's face it, everybody is short on time. Melissa Sanchez is a reporter with ProPublica. That is a nonprofit media group that basically takes a look at some of the hard issues that are being faced in Wisconsin. Agriculture is one of those areas they've been looking into. I talked to Melissa Sanchez, who's one of the reporters working on the project, and asked her to explain why they decided to focus in on Wisconsin dairy and what they have revealed.
So my colleague Mariam and I, for the past 2 years, have been reporting on all sorts of issues affecting immigrant workers on dairy farms here in Wisconsin. We've written about the death of a Nicaraguan boy on a farm not too far from here in Dane, and kind of how law enforcement mistakenly blamed the father for the death because of a language barrier. We've written about the issue with driver's licenses and how undocumented folks can't drive legally and the impact that's had on dairy workers and the farms where they work. We've written about why OSHA does not always investigate deaths and injuries when they happen on small farms. And also about the frequency of injuries at work and some of the limitations in state and federal laws that leave workers unprotected on farms.
Yeah, and although this is obviously a very big element of conversation that we should be having, it's a challenging conversation. I mentioned at the outset language barriers. That is a big one that ProPublica has really been trying to work on to address not only pointing out to farms, hey, they're from a different region of Mexico. They're from a different part of Central America. The languages are not as easy as you thought they would be. Tell us a little bit about what you learned on law enforcement. First off, Melissa, resources for law enforcement are always minimal, and that has manifested itself a couple different ways.
Yeah, so one of the ways that we started this reporting is by requesting from law enforcement all over the state records on when they respond to 911 calls on farms to get a sense of what is happening, what are the problems that we might not know about from the outside. And without meaning to, you know, I expected to find injuries and maybe like domestic violence issues or, you know, whatever, workplace problems. But I was shocked to discover over and over, you know, deputies would show up on these farms all over the state and be unable to communicate with the workers. And the and you know, we know that in rural parts of the state, cell phone reception can be very awful. And so they might be trying to communicate using Google, like a Google Translate, which is what farmers also have to do with their workers. But that doesn't always work with the reception. And so often they'd have to rely on the farmer to serve as the interpreter between the deputy and the worker. And the farmers might not speak good enough Spanish, or they rely on another worker. So that was one thing, or even children to translate. And that becomes a big problem. Interpreting is difficult, even if you speak both languages well. That's why, like, when the court system, the state requires certification, training, et cetera. So there's a lot of information that doesn't get communicated. And in the worst of cases, you might have somebody with an agenda who might not want a victim of some sort of situation to fully tell their story to law enforcement that might then come after the person who's serving as an interpreter. You can imagine why that would be complicated.
Well, and we're all about dynamics on the farm. That visit can disrupt the dynamics of employer, employee, employee, and fellow employees. I mean, it's a sensitive situation.
And then especially if you take into account workers' immigration status. We know, you know, it's an open secret here that so many of the workers on Wisconsin dairy farms, on farms all over the country, don't have work permits. And people don't always know what it means when a cop might show up on a farm, and there's additional fears both from the workers and also the employer, who, you know, might say that they accept the papers are handed to them, but everybody knows who's working on these places.
Well, again, Melissa Sanchez in studio with us, one of the reporters for ProPublica that has been working on this for an extended period of time, just revealing some of the things that we may or may not know about Wisconsin agriculture. Now, the reason I had Melissa in now is because they've come to a point where they've been able to assemble some resources to hopefully be the first step in trying to mitigate some of these challenges, specifically on communications. Tell me where we've arrived so far, Melissa.
So in December, Mariam and I published a story that took us a good part of the year looking at injuries at work and what happens. And you know, for your listeners, you probably know that if you have a farm with fewer than six workers, you don't need to have workers' compensation under state law. If you have a bigger farm, you do. And for the folks on small farms, if there's an injury, like the only legal recourse for a worker who gets injured in a severe way is to file a lawsuit against the farm. And that's just incredibly difficult to do, even if you're a white U.S. born person. And there's all sorts of reasons why you might not do that. And it's even more difficult if you're an immigrant who doesn't understand the legal system and doesn't speak English. So given all of that, and given the frequency of farm injuries, we've spoken to maybe 150 workers so far. I'd say 75-80% of them had been hurt in some way, whether it's kicked in the face. You know, animals are unpredictable and they're gigantic, and it's hard work. But lots of injuries ranging in severity. And these people routinely did not get any medical care. They routinely just worked through injuries, including some that left them unable to walk. And so we thought it was important to put together resources for them, not quite an article or a newspaper story, but a booklet with questions and answers of how can I learn if a farm is safe? How do I learn if a farm has workers' comp? How do I access workers' comp? What happens if my claim is denied? What happens if the farmer tells me not to go to the hospital? And these are all coming from questions we heard directly from workers.
So let's talk a little bit about how you put that all together and some of the things that you hit on them. But tell me a little bit about how people can get access.
So for folks who are comfortable on the internet, in English, it's propublica.org/dairy, and it's the top link on that page. That's a page that contains all of our reporting. If people want to reach out to me directly and ask for copies when we have them in a couple of weeks, I am more than happy to send them to people by mail. My cell phone number is 872-444-0011. It sounds like a fake number, but it's my real number. And just feel free to text me or call me, and I'm happy to mail you copies.
Dairy producers out there should not be afraid to engage in this process. Melissa and I were talking about there seems to be still this cloud of fear over everybody, the dairy farmers that have those employees, the employees that are there and not sure about status, etc. This is kind of maybe the first spot where we can all meet and try to exchange information.
Yeah, we'd love that. I mean, we're not the government. we're reporters, so we'd love to talk to everybody who wants to talk to us, but we understand that everybody wants to, and that's okay. We're happy to just send you this information and then just hope that you're able to share it with the folks who work with you.
Well, again, I want my dairy audience to understand, I can hear many of you saying, well, we work through pain, we work through injuries, we have a hard time holding insurance for the family. I understand, we all understand the challenges that dairy farms today, especially given the economics, are facing, but being fair to your employees is also something important. You've made an investment in having them there, you need them, so maybe this is kind of the first place where you start the conversation. Melissa Sanchez in studio with us, one of the reporters, like she said, they're not the government, one of the reporters that's been working on this issue behind the scenes with ProPublica. Now, if you're interested in accessing both an English and Spanish version of questions that are common occurring in Wisconsin agriculture and some of the answers, some of the guidance that you can provide, all you need to do is reach out to Melissa. Again, her cell phone number, 872-444-0011. And we'll try to put a link up on our website as well so you can just click and get connected. That's 872-444-0011. Melissa, thanks for bringing this to our attention and coming into the studio.
Thank you for having me.
Melissa Sanchez, one of the reporters with ProPublica. Now, they're also making additional resources available for those employees that you might have via TikTok videos, also Facebook videos that have been translated to try to help those employees know resources that are available to them. You can find it all online, ProPublica.org/dairy. ProPublica.org/dairy. Hope you'll tap into the resources if it's something that will assist you. Time for a quick break. Stu Mock, our ag meteorologist, just around the corner.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as ag meteorologist Stu Mock gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
Keeping Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained.
This is The Shaw.
540 AM and 101.1 FM. WAUK.
Why choose Weikert Realtors? Because your community is our community. We're your neighbors, your students, your chefs, your soldiers, your builders, your actors, your musicians, and your radio personalities. We love this city as much as you do, and that's why we want to help you live your best life here. Because we are your realtors. Call us today and let us help you find your next home. 608-821-7002 or visit Weikert-LakePoint.com. Weikert Realtors Lake Point, a home for all.
At Uline, the prevailing opinion is, if you don't live it, you don't believe it. The people at Uline believe in hard work, and they live it by being there 24/7 to answer your call, having 41,000 items in stock, and offering same-day shipping from 12 locations across North America. Business owners, sellers, buyers, shippers, and packers believe it. Uline is the hardworking, dependable source for your shipping and industrial supplies. Visit uline.com.
As a network, we're called Civic Media because a big part of it is we want to start modeling how civic discourse really should happen and being respectful of each other's opinions, even if you disagree, you know, like they should be given a platform.
If Rocker and I can get along, right, we can all get along.
I know,
along.
Exactly.
Right,
yeah.
Rocker?
Yeah, that's right, Jimmy.
Well, you do have a wall in between the two of you, so
glass.
It's like the
it's only glass.
It's only tear down the walls. Listen to Max Inc. Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Todd Alba Show.
Andrew Hahn, he is a data journalist, and he maps out in this article what makes Wisconsin great. 96% of Wisconsinites live within 30 minutes of Quick Trip.
Wisconsin is one of those places that has a cultural identity that's unique to this place. And when we tell stories like this, it reminds people that we all come from this place and we all share a goal genuinely of trying to make this state a better place.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Maggie Dawn.
Next up, it is the final leg of the VP Olympics. Does Trump go with the weird guy with the beard, man from Florida, or the governor that nobody's heard of? We discuss.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. This is The Shaw, WAUK.
open spots in fields, erratic cornfields, not sure what we're going to get. In North and South Carolina, they're facing the opposite dilemma. They are dry. They have not seen rain since earlier this spring. That's the word from North Carolina's Farm Service Agency director. His name is Bob Etheridge, and he says already they believe some of their corn crop may have been lost.
The corn crop, for all practical purposes, is pretty well gone, except in some of the blackland areas down east where the ground's a little heavy and it had a little bit of water, and there's spots where they could have got some rain. No matter how much rain we get, they're probably not going to have much of a corn crop.
So that is South Carolina's Farm Service, or take that back, North Carolina's Farm Service Agency Director Bob Etheridge. Their corn crop, as he said, already done. Same kind of situation that's been developing in North Carolina.
If you look at the drought monitor and where we are, we actually have 99 of our 100 counties in some stage of drought. 57 of them are in moderate drought, and 42 are abnormally dry, but you add heat to that, and it does make it pretty critical.
That's North Carolina State Ag Commissioner Steve Troxell talking about their drought situation. Stumach Ag Meteorologist along with us now. You know, that's always the story in agriculture. You got the haves, the have-nots. We have it. They don't. Now Texas getting beat up by Hurricane Beryl. I think I'd rather be in our position. I mean, we still have hope. North and South Carolina, their season's kind of done.
Yeah, we can see where the water's been too much for some of the crops. I mean, I've seen some pretty sick-looking corn and beans that were flooded out, and nothing's coming up in those spots, but it's been just that kind of a wet year. Even yesterday, where most of us didn't see rain, my friend John, right over here, Armstrong, in eastern Fond du Lac County, picked up 0.6 of an inch just in the morning while they were milking. All of a sudden, it rained. It was wet. We saw some of that here and there yesterday. I see Rudolph up in Portage County had 0.17 of an inch, and a lot of us didn't even see a drop. Now, Beryl is pulling off to our east and away. There's just a weak disturbance moving east in Iowa today. And there are some showers in northern Illinois. If you're on the Illinois-Wisconsin border, you may see just a little rain this morning. That should be about the extent of it. Most of us, though, expect as things warm up today to see a slight afternoon shower chance in the far south or east. It's a very slight chance. Let's not be too concerned by it. But as we head on toward the weekend, a little more likely again that there could be some rainfall towards Saturday afternoon or Saturday night, and a lot of heat pouring in for the weekend. I'll have those forecast details after this.
At Compere Financial, being here for you means something. With your loan, you access far more than financing. Enjoy member benefits like discounts on personal and business expenses, financial education, and special events, plus patronage, essentially reducing the costs of the funds you borrowed. Compere Financial, here for you. Find out more today. Call 844-426-6733 or visit compere.com/member-benefits. Compere Financial is an equal credit opportunity lender and provider. Copyright 2024, all rights reserved.
Habenjager, BB Swagger. Those are just a few of the new flavors coming out of the Bavaria Sausage Kitchen. Fabulous Farm Bay Pam Yankee encouraging you to stop on by the corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrona Road in Fitchburg, open Monday through Friday, 9 until 7, Saturday 9 until 1. Of course, shop online anytime you want, BavariaSausage.com. They are creatively putting a twist on the traditional Landjager snack sticks, always a favorite. Now they're offering you the Cranjager with Wisconsin cranberries, the Pepper Jager, how about with some Brazilian red and green peppers, and now the Beer and Bacon Swiss Jager, the Swagger, and the Habanero Jager, the Habanjager. So like I said, there is flavor galore and old world authentic elements all around you. Check it out online, BavariaSausage.com, or stop on by corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrona Road, open Monday through Friday, 9 until 7, Saturday, 9 until 1.
All righty, Stu, let's have that forecast.
Well, the weather auger could have a little patchy fog here and there. Wouldn't be too surprised by that, but I'm expecting a mostly sunny day and fairly warm. A lot of low 80s, mid-80s in western Wisconsin with east winds only about 5. Overnight, well, clear skies, and we fall back down to the lower to mid-60s. Southeast winds at 5, sunny Friday again, and more likely pushing toward the mid-80s in a lot of areas. Southeast winds at 5, and mostly sunny Saturday, but a slight shower, isolated thunderstorm chance later in the day. Upper 80s on Saturday. That you know, afternoon pop-up shower or storm even Sunday, Pam, but around or just in the low 90s come Sunday, a hot end to the weekend.
So we're thinking heat index is getting in the dangerous category again by Saturday?
Oh, yeah, we'll be pushing into the low 90s Saturday, Sunday, definitely mid and upper 90s, so it's going to be pretty stressful.
Yeah, I was going to say, we better have a little refresher course on that probably tomorrow morning as part of conversation, huh?
I would expect, yeah, we're going to find it again for this year.
All right, buddy. Thanks a bunch. We'll see you later. Stu Yager.
Yeah, there you go.
Stu Yager.
See ya.
See ya. Stu Miker, ag meteorologist, with your weather details for you on a Thursday. Again, the talk text line open, 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. Which county fair are you headed to? You've got an assortment to choose from. Maybe it's not this week. Maybe it's next week. Let the old farm babe know where you're going.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Your home of the Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Most of my angst comes from the grocery store. I end up behind that person with the checkout line trifecta of coupons, lottery tickets, and writing a personal check. Another checkout person comes and says, I can take someone on aisle 3. Who should be the first person they take? The next person in line, right? Where I am, it's a free-for-all. It's like roller derby. It didn't infuriate me, but I was kind of like, whatever.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Busted pencils. Fully leaded education talk.
Our guest, Jonathan Gurko. Deliberative dialogue in democracy isn't winning an argument.
Instead of how do we win and end the conversation, how do we keep it going? How do I listen in a way on the assumption that someone else has something that I can learn from that will improve my point of view so that we can grow? To me, that's the democratic project.
Busted pencils with Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny. Weeknights at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Hi, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. For the first time, a sitting Democratic senator, Vermont's Peter Welch, is publicly calling for President Biden to drop his reelection bid. His announcement came on the heels of remarks by the former House Speaker, CBS's Ed O'Keefe.
Nancy Pelosi's strong suggestion that Biden rethink his future signals she's hearing real concern from fellow congressional Democrats, big party donors, and other party leaders, and it gives others an opening to speak up.
Remnants of Hurricane Beryl have triggered catastrophic flooding in New England as more than a million Texans struggle without power in blistering heat for day number 4. Houston Mayor John Whitmire.
We need generators so we can have cooling centers. We need ice, food. We need boots on the ground.
We'll get a fresh read on inflation when the government releases its CPI report later this morning. Business analyst Jill Schlesinger.
People really are unhappy that prices overall are still quite high.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Protesters are out with their plans for a parade near the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee. Here's Stuart J. Waddles.
The Coalition to March on the RNC 2024 will begin their demonstration at Red Arrow Park, crossing the Milwaukee River four times and then entering the soft security zone. Organizers say the march, scheduled for noon on Monday, aims to bring protesters as close as legally possible to the convention while respecting court-ordered boundaries. I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
Expanded Amtrak service in Wisconsin is a hit with passengers. More than 18,500 people rode the Borealis trains between St. Paul and Chicago during its first month. That's about 300 passengers on each trip. Wisconsin's transportation secretary calls the data promising. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
A nice win for Toby Myers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Brewers with a 9-0 shutout over the Pittsburgh Pirates, and perhaps the best performance yet of rookie pitcher Tobias Myers. He didn't allow a hit until the fourth. All in all, he gave up just four hits, struck out six, walked one, while throwing 103 pitches in his 13th start. Pat Murphy also gave credit to catcher William Contreras.
Yeah, I mean, Tobias was attacking, which he's been most times, but he was attacking. You got to put Contreras in the conversation because Contreras really did guide him through. He understood what Tobias was good at. That slider's become a real pitch now, and he threw some cutters, but Contreras from the first inning kept adjusting with him, and then he found his stuff again. Third or fourth inning, he found his stuff, and we played great defense behind him. We hit in the clutch. We scored a ton of runs with two outs. That was the name of the game, and we stayed with it for nine innings.
Home runs from Reese Hoskins, Willie Adames. So the Brewers even the series up now, one game apiece. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we talk all things sports with Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reporter J.R. Radcliffe. Weather and wine with Brittany Merlot as we head into a steamy week. Join us.
Mattenair on air, weekday mornings at 10. This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Partly cloudy today. We'll get to 76 for a high this afternoon with wind out of the northeast at 5 to 10. Tonight, partly cloudy, 64. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, a little warmer with a high of 80 into the weekend. A few isolated thunderstorms, warmer, a lot more humid with mid-80s Saturday, low 90s by Sunday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp, 62.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. We continue our Why People Don't Vote week with why eligible citizens don't register to vote. Polls show that it's a combination of apathy, available time, lack of information, and other social and systemic barriers. In a 2020 poll of non-voters by NPR, 29% of non-voters surveyed said they didn't vote because they weren't registered. This and other polls show that non-voters consume less news media and are less engaged in the community than voters, so they may not see the announcements on how, when, and where to register and vote. A larger Knight Foundation study entitled The 100 Million Project, after the 100 million Americans who don't vote in national elections, found that 5% of non-voters cite not being registered, and 7% say they don't have time to vote. These reasons rank below don't like the candidates and voting doesn't matter in most studies, but if you're not registered, not liking the candidates is a moot point. Apathy is the biggest reason that people aren't registered. I'm not interested, don't care is the top reason, but I don't know how, it's too complicated, I keep forgetting, and I'm too busy are all cited factors. What can be done to reach and convince non-voters to register? We have some proposed solutions in our next report. We have links to studies and groups taking action at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. For the American Democracy Minute, I'm Brian Beal.
The Republican National Convention is being held in Milwaukee, and it marks the first time the RNC is in the Badger State. But Wisconsin holds a special spot in the election cycle, with the RNC the second consecutive political convention in Milwaukee. The city was picked for the Democratic National Convention in 2020, but due to COVID, most of it ended up being virtual. Do you know which city has hosted the most political conventions? Philadelphia, Chicago, or Boston? The answer coming up. Political conventions started in the 19th 18th century. It remained the main way to select candidates until 1972, when presidential primaries determined the eventual nominee. Conventions are now considered more of a celebration of the candidate. So do you know which city has held the most political conventions? Chicago. The Republicans have been there 14 times, and the Democratic convention will be hosted there for the 11th time this summer. 50,000 people expected at the RNC in Milwaukee, a nice slice of Wisconsin for the country to see. I'm Terry Barr.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this. Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Republican legislators continue to sit on $125 million that should be used right now to clean PFAS out of contaminated drinking water and groundwater across Wisconsin because they don't like the governor's line item vetoes, to which the proper legal response is, too bad, you don't have the votes. Stop being crybabies about it.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow, weekday morning 6 till 8 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
The Shaw, W-A-U-K, Waukesha's home for Nightlight with Peach Waba.
I think we can manage through today. It's going to be a little sticky, but at least we're going to stay dry today, tomorrow, and Saturday. At least our chance of rain, pretty thin. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke. This is the Midwest Farm Report. I'm glad that we are going to see temperatures today, probably in the mid, maybe upper 80s for some. This weekend is when it's really going to get taxing for all those kids that are at county fairs trying to take care of their livestock, their birds, their exhibits. Be thinking about them and give them a little cheer on if you're going to be attending your local county fair. And then, like we said, by the time we get to Saturday, we're going to have to watch those heat indexes because they're going to get dangerous. But like I said, the good news is dry. You heard at the outset, weather, North and South Carolina facing drought. Wisconsin, we've got open acres because we couldn't get it planted because of wet. Now, Texas dealing with Hurricane Beryl. We've got a World Ag Supply Demand Report that's going to be released tomorrow. Matt Tranel with EverAg is going to be stepping to the microphone in just a little bit to give us his market perspective on what's happening and also specifically focus in on dairy. So let's see. We talked at the top of the hour about Wisconsin agriculture's dependence on immigrant labor. That's not anything new in Wisconsin. On this day back in 1853, immigrant railway workers marched to Milwaukee to demand payment of back wages. 300 to 400 German railway laborers converged on Milwaukee. They went to the company headquarters on Water and Spring Streets to try to get the lead to try to pay them. After the fire department turned their hoses on the mob, they responded by throwing brick bats at law enforcement. Heavens to Betsy, all that happened on this day back in 1853, downtown Milwaukee, when immigrants decided they needed their money. I'm keeping a baseball theme today. If you're going to the ball game at Miller Park, keep your eyes open for the Midwest Farm Report. We're going over for a little fun as a group. You know, on this day back in 1992, Miller Park's design was revealed. They called it a turn-of-the-century design at the time. Miller Park revealed on this day back in 1992. On this day in 1914, Major League Baseball got their first look at Babe Ruth. George Herman Babe Ruth Jr., one of the world's most well-known professional baseball players, debuted on this day back in 1914. And now you know. Greene County is getting ready to host an international contingency of cheese lovers and enthusiasts coming up September 20th through the 22nd, Cheese Days 2024, considered the oldest food fest in the Midwest, and it literally is an international draw. This morning, summer intern Aubrey Slimgen joins us to talk about not only upcoming Cheese Days, but more importantly, a great passport that you can try to attain now that will teach you all about Greene County cheese and dairy before Cheese Days. Aubrey?
Noreen Rickard is the tourism director for Greene County, where they are highlighting a free cheese passport to help promote the wonders of Greene County. While also highlighting the Wisconsin part of the state, there are 35 stops in total with all things eat, drink, and yodel. I'm Aubrey Schlimgen with the Midwest Farm Report, and Noreen talks about all of the exciting features and prizes that you can experience with the passport and the significance that this opportunity will bring.
Well, I think a stop that everyone must make would be to, obviously, one of the cheese factories or one of the cheese stores that are factory direct. A really good example would be Alp and Dell Cheese Store in Monroe, Wisconsin. They are adjacent to the Emmy Roth Cheese Factory, and Emmy is a Swiss company. In the store at Alpendel, you will find Swiss imports as well as cheese that is made right here in Wisconsin at the different Emmy factories, including the one right in Monroe. And uniquely, you can also see right into the factory through an observation hall area. And even better than that is the fact that the store is operated by a couple who are Swiss natives, and the owner, Tony Scroggin, and his wife, Esther, just happened to be our Cheese Days King and Queen this year for the Cheese Days Festival, which will be coming up in fall. But Tony is a yodeler, and he's a wonderful yodeler, and he's often, if you ask him nicely or, you know, whatever, he'll just probably throw out a yodel for you so you can taste cheese, you can see cheese being made, and you can meet an authentic yodeler at Alpendel Cheese Store. So that's definitely a stop to make.
That all sounds fantastic. And this runs from now till August 4th, correct?
That's correct. As people are winning things now, we are shipping things. So people have already gotten cheese delivered to their door. They've already gotten cheese socks and caps and things like that. We have some fun little wine tumblers that are starting to go out the door. And also some Karma is the Cheese t-shirts and stickers. Kind of fun. If you're a Taylor Swift fan or if you're aware of Taylor Swift, which you probably are, she has a song that said Karma is all these really good things. And to me, cheese is a good thing. So Karma is the cheese. It's just a fun little side benefit of the cheese passport is to kind of key into the Karma is the cheese idea.
That was Noreen Rickert, director of Greene County Tourism, highlighting all things Greene County on how you can participate in all the festivities. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Aubrey Schlimgen.
Joining me now, Samantha Brantner, DeKalb technical agronomist in Wisconsin, to share research by Bayer Crop Science to combat top plant diseases, including tar spot.
Yeah, our Bayer research teams are working, you know, really to better meet the agronomic needs that our customers, you know, are needing and are facing here today. Our product pipeline investment leads the seed and crop protection industry by a 2-to-1 margin.
What progress are you seeing?
So our breeders are really working on identifying new genetic combinations with tolerance to, you know, specifically tar spot, but also other diseases by using our precision breeding strategy. And we expect that this capability is really going to be able to reduce our one breeding cycle from 6 years to just 4 months.
Thanks, Samantha. To learn more, visit DeKalb.com. Always read and follow IRM where applicable, grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
What does life on the cutting edge mean to alfalfa grower Dan Sheps?
Harv Extra has been very consistent on our test results from first crop through fourth crop. The higher quality has allowed us to feed more alfalfa haylage in our diet, and cows are able to have a higher intake with a higher quality forage.
What does life on the cutting edge mean to alfalfa grower Riley Lapenka?
Making hay has changed so much now with Harv Extra alfalfa. You don't have to be tied down to a certain cutting window. That saves us a lot of headache, a lot of cost, wear and tear on machinery, you name it. I don't see any farm that it wouldn't work. Any kind of operation, if you have 10 cows, 10,000, it doesn't matter.
What does life on the cutting edge mean for alfalfa growers? Flexibility, yield, or quality? Harv Extra alfalfa with Roundup Ready technology gives you an extra edge every time you harvest. Hear grower stories at harvextra.com.
Thank you, Talk Text friends, for reminding me to repeat the information about that Greene County passport. Eat, drink, yodel is their theme. And that Green County, Swissconsin passport is only available through August 4th. As far as the download is concerned, you can go to greencounty.org and you'll see the passport opportunity right there. greencounty.org and find your own passport. Thank you for the reminder. Talk, text, friends. All right, a reminder that Matt Tranel from EverAg is on the way. Markets and overnight electronic trade this morning, a little bit mixed. Right now we've got December corn up a penny at 408. November beans up a penny, 1068. September wheat's up six right now at 567 a bushel. Yesterday in Chicago, barrel cheese was unchanged at 194. 40-pound block cheese was up a quarter of a cent at 197. Double A butter, that drifted 3.5 cents lower to 310.5. The August Class 3 milk this morning's up 14 cents, 2033 a hundredweight. September's up 15 cents at 2084 a hundredweight. And one final note on a news-related item. We found out yesterday that former dean at the College of Ag and Life Sciences in Madison, Leo Walsh, has passed away. He was dean in Madison from 1979 till 1991. He passed away at the age of 93.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and the Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Today, I want to talk about one of my favorite ways to think about budgeting, saving, and overall financial health. It's called pay yourself first. It's a little counterintuitive, right? Like, wait, I'm going to pay me? Really? Yes, sirree. You're the one that earns your money. And that means that your savings, you know, your investment in your future, ideally gets paid before you even notice your paycheck hitting your checking account. To pay yourself first, you pick an amount, and then you automatically transfer that to a savings account. It could be 15%, it could be 20 bucks. Just start wherever you're comfortable. Doing this ensures that you're always funding your future and that your savings goals are safe from the temptations of the weekly spend. For more everyday money help, check out my videos at Work Money Media on YouTube. Till next time, take good care.
Days, 144,000 minutes. The countdown to the November presidential election is on, and Maggie Dawn is counting too as she continues her special segment, Biden's Top 100.
Having heard from each and every one of you, I should start talking about what President Biden is proposing us for his second term.
Biden's Top 100 continues. You're invited to be part of it too. Call or text the Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays starting at 2, across the Civic Media Radio Network and the app.
Matt Nair on air.
Project 2025, it's going to drastically change democracy. We did have a text from Lynn. She says, well, Jane and Greg, you are scaring me. I'm not trying to scare you, Lynn. I'm trying to make sure everybody understands what this would do. And it's scary, especially when we're talking about firing more than 50,000 civil employees and replace them with people who will just do what Trump wants. So Jared Kushner apparently is qualified to do everything.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. When President Biden wanted to set the record straight, he called Civic Media Network's Earl Ingram Show.
So I screwed up. I made a mistake. That's 90 minutes on stage. Look at what I've done in 3.5 years.
Hear the complete conversation now at civicmedia.us. You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
That we've been looking at as far as weather is concerned. Definitely on the minds of a lot of dairy producers. It's not just about trying to produce milk with all that heat and keep your animals healthy. It's also about what's going on with consumption. A lot of folks across the United States take a look at dairy alternatives at this time of the year. So we'll have to see what Matt has to say about that. Again, continuing to work to try to reach him. I do want to remind you again that we've got a lot of folks that are going to be ready for you at county fairs. Let me give you the rundown again on all the county fairs that are happening right around our primary area. We've got the Lodi Agricultural Fair that's getting started today. That's free of charge in Lodi, and they have got some wonderful history that they'd like to share with you, as well as all kinds of great exhibits. They're always upgrading their grounds, so please make sure that you're taking a look at that Lodi Agricultural Fair. We've got the Lafayette Fair down in Arlington. We've got the Jefferson County Fair in Jefferson underway. We also have the Sauk County Fair in Baraboo that we'd like you to enjoy. So those are a few of your options if you're looking for entertainment while the weather allows. Matt Tranel, broker analyst with EverAg, stepping in this morning. We're happy to have you, Matt. Let's get started right away about talking on this weather situation that we're looking at out there. I mentioned that Wisconsin's, we're dealing with the heat now, but we've been dealing with water more. What are you hearing from dairy players across the United States as far as the weather and any concerns they've got about milk production?
Yeah, so when you look at some of the major places around the country, a couple of the places that we're watching very, very closely is, number one, California. They are the largest milk producer in the country. And we have a few coworkers that are stationed out there. And when you look at late June through mid-July, a lot of the highs come in over 100 degrees. But I think the thing that everybody really watches is the lows. And across that same time period, only two of the 14 days were actually had a 60-something low overnight. And at present, we're watching lows kind of come in somewhere between that 75 and 85-degree temperature out in California. So some of our coworkers out in California would say that the freestall barns, that production is down maybe 1 to 4 pounds a cow per day. But when you look at the open lots, which there are a bunch of in California, some of that production is down closer to about 10 pounds a day. Looking at Idaho, we're seeing some of the same things. Highs in the upper 90s, the lower 100s. Lows are a little bit lower, a few more 60s, but we're seeing milk production off by about 3 or 4%. Partially that's due to some of the bird flu issues that are happening. Partially that's due to the heat. Seeing the same type of thing in Arizona. They're not as big of a player, but still adds up into the overall total. When you look at kind of the outlook for temperatures in the third quarter, this was issued by NOAA during the June 20th date. Virtually the entire United States is expected to have above normal temperatures. So it could really bring a drag on milk production across the country. One thing that will come as a result is added ice cream demand, as people do love their ice cream when temperatures get warm.
Matt Tranel joining us live this morning from the Platteville office of EverAg. I always want to remind you, if you ever need those folks, they manage risk for a lot of different agricultural commodities, not just dairy. Go to ever.ag. Matt, you alluded to it. Avian influenza in our dairy herds. Now, fortunately, Wisconsin has been able to escape the situation, but other states are dealing with it. What is the latest? Are they seeing more cases? Is it impacting more milk production than we've been hearing about?
So I guess the major ones that we've been hearing about recently, and two of them we've heard about for quite some time, Idaho and Michigan. I guess the new one that's kind of been popping up is Colorado. It does sound like the Colorado herds have really been hit with the bird flu quite drastically. It does sound like there has been some advancements in how to deal with the bird flu to get your cows back to production quicker. And so we haven't seen the milk yield drop in Colorado like we have seen in some of these other states, just due to different testing and ultimately testing different things to kind of cure that particular flu. So I'd say we're still seeing it. We're not seeing as drastic of repercussions anymore as what we had previously seen.
All right, let's jump to where we're headed with all this. Matt Tranel again along with us. Normally, this would be a time of the year when we could see, a little bit of a rebound or start building for fall. You think that it's about cattle number out there that's really a bigger issue.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at, so whether you look at reports that USDA puts out or just the market and different figures that you're hearing in the cattle market, they point towards there being less cattle than normal compared to history. So USDA comes out with their heifer inventory twice a year, and based upon that that report, we have about 300,000 less heifers than what we would normally see on a given year. A lot of that has to do with the high values of cattle. Beef on dairy animals are worth a lot of money, but you're also watching replacement animals for folks that do have them trading upwards of $3,000 a head. We've even heard over $3,000 a head in certain geographies. And so that is making it more and more difficult for farmers to readily expand in a quick way, despite maybe $20 milk on the board and $4 corn. That type of setup would normally point towards added milk growth in a quick manner. It's just that we don't have the fundamentals behind the replacement animals in order to really accomplish that in a quick manner or as quickly as what we would have in the past.
Boy, but if you're sitting on those replacements, you're kind of in the bird seat, aren't you?
You're sitting in a good position if you have them, yes, without a doubt. There's a lot of people that want them.
Boy, for sure. Matt, I appreciate your time. Thanks for making such an effort to get through with us. We'll catch up with you again soon. All right, buddy?
Absolutely. Yep. Catch you later.
Matt Tranel joining us live this morning from the Platteville office of EverAg. Again, risk management is their deal. You want to talk to Matt or any of the crew, pop on over to ever.ag and you'll be able to find them all right there. Ever.ag. We'll catch up with you tomorrow morning. Have a great Thursday. See you at the game.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
You're listening to the Shaw WAUK, Waukesha's home for Up North News Radio.
One of the state's biggest and best farmers markets is right here in Waukesha. Join thousands of your neighbors this Saturday morning between 8 and noon at the corner of St. Paul and Madison along the Fox River. Fresh produce, crafts, flowers, food, and gift ideas of all kinds are on display and on sale. We'll check in live each Saturday morning on WAUK, too. Plan to stock up this Saturday at the Waukesha Farmers Market and stop by our WAUK tent to say hi and register to win a brand new Logger bike. We can't wait to see you.
A show-and-tell model for spreading the word on beef sustainability. Today on Farm to Fork. If you're ready to try a highly effective microbial soil inoculant, then Rizol from ProGrow Bio should be your first choice. Rizol offers multiple benefits, like enhanced biomass, bigger yields, and improved soil health. 100% organic and works with conventional or organic crops and comes in a soluble dry form for easy handling and long shelf life. Search the web for RHIZOL from ProGrow Bio.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
Cattle producers have heard plenty lately about their industry's purported impact on the climate, but the narrative may not be accurate in every case. Take Brady Wolf of Clear Springs Cattle Company in Starbuck, Minnesota.
We are in a very advantageous spot. We have an on-farm vacation rental, and just to get people to come from the metro Twin Cities area, and they stay right in the house on the farm, right out the kitchen window is cows on grass. They just love to see that. They've been shown images of feed yards, and they think that that's where those animals spend their whole life, and there's that misconception. And so I think telling our story, starting at the calf level, all the way through that life cycle of that animal, is a great opportunity to show what these cattle can do and what they can do for our landscapes.
Wolf's situation is effective on a small scale, but, he wonders,
how do we get that to a larger audience? I mean, we're trying to do it with one group of renters every weekend all summer, but we're not making a very big dent with just the 20 people once a week. But there's definitely a story there to be told.
Another voice weighs in tomorrow. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome comedian and podcaster Jimmy Pardo and EAA Director of Communications Dick Nepinski joins the show to talk about one of Wisconsin's favorite events.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9.
Over the past 20 years, Wisconsin has seen a huge increase in reported elder abuse cases. Elder abuse is the verbal, physical, emotional, sexual, or financial abuse of a senior citizen. It can also be the intentional or unintentional neglect of an older person. Wisconsin's population of seniors 65 and older is projected to grow significantly in the coming decades. That's why we all share the responsibility to help protect our seniors by recognizing and reporting any signs of elder abuse. If you believe that elder abuse has been inflicted upon yourself or someone you know, please report it. Call the Wisconsin Elder Abuse Hotline toll-free at 1-833-586-0107 or visit reportelderabusewi.org. Respect our elders. Report abuse. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Justice.
This project is supported by the Administration for Community Living, ACL, U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, HHS, as part of a financial assistance award totaling $120,000 with 100% funding by ACL-HHS. The contents are those of the authors and do not necessarily represent the official views of nor an endorsement by ACL-HHS or the U.S. government.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the